Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour. Our goal is to help more, do more, and have more. I'm your host, Gregory Turner.
And I'm your co-host, Brian J. Henderson.
Brian, we have a powerful, powerful show.
Yeah.
It's going to be powerful, Brian. That's all I can say. I'm excited, and we're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. But, Brian, we're going to talk about some things that are near and dear to my heart. And you know those things, Brian, the suffering and the pain and the overcoming things. And, Brian, you know what? I really believe our guest tonight, I believe we're going to come up with some solutions for some of the problems that a lot of people are going through. And I truly believe the life of this person that we have tonight, it's going to shine tonight, Brian. That light has been shining on stage, on television. It's just a beautiful, beautiful light.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. We're going to have fun.
You know, Greg, when you told me about our guests and who we're going to have tonight, I was like, wow. You know, because it's just, when you look at what they have accomplished.
Yes.
And it seemed like it happened so fast. And I tell you, when I watch what they do, it's just the funniest thing. And when I say they, I mean her as well as her husband.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch them and their chemistry, it's just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, and I can't stop laughing. You know, because their comedy, you know, the thing that they do, it's when you watch them, and, you know, it's almost an indescribable thing. You can see the beauty in their comedy. You can
mm-hmm.
see their togetherness while they're doing, you know, when they're doing their acting, you know, their acting bits and so forth. And so it's just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yes. Man, you know what? What I get from watching this couple, it's like every care that I had, or everything that was on my mind that was troubling to me, I was able to just forget about it for some reason. Somehow they're able to take that away and put your mind and focus right back where it should be. And to hear her sing, and like I was saying earlier, Brian, I spoke with some women today, and they all said she touched their soul. When she sings, it's as if she's singing to them. You know, we can all say profound things and powerful things, but when you say and speak the things that person is going through, that just makes it that just much more powerful. You know, I can't really get it out, but it's just so, so powerful.
Yes, yes.
Well, let's bring her in, Brian.
Yes. We would like to introduce you all, arrayed in beauty and endowed with graceful artistry, actress and singer, Miss Tamela Mann. Oh, I'm sorry, and I'm just queuing her up, and I hadn't brought her in yet. Are you there?
I'm here. Well, good evening. Good evening. Good evening to everybody, to the listeners.
Thank you. This is
Tamela Mann. I'm happy to be with you guys this evening.
Thank you
yes,
so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're just so excited.
I'm excited too. To talk
you know,
about whatever we're going to talk about.
Here's my first question, and it's actually sort of like an observation. I see that you were born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And it's ironic because my wife and her family are from Fort Worth, Texas. They're from Como.
Really? Oh, well,
yeah.
I wasn't quite that far west
mm-hmm.
of Fort Worth. But, yes, I lived in East. East Fort Worth is basically where I was brought up at, that area.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful thing. You know, even with the ups and downs, I thank God for it.
Yeah.
It was a good thing.
And, you know, it's funny because as I was reading, you know, your story, it says you were the youngest of 14 children.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. How was that like?
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, it had did a shift by the time I really, you know, like some of the older ones had already went on and got married, and I also because it's funny because I have two nephews that are the same age that I am, because
mm-hmm.
my two older brothers had sons the same time that I was being born, which is crazy.
Oh,
But it was good to me because I'm pretty spoiled, even with, you know, being poor, but they still spoil me. And I guess everybody just took a lot of time with me, and it just made me really appreciate family. And what was cool about it, too, is everybody else has the same father except me. My mom, after her husband passed away, she had me later. And it was just, that's funny, but it was a lot of fun. But sometimes it could be kind of course, and I was the, everyone else is like dark complected in my family, and I'm like the lightest one. So I'm the light sheep of the family, if you could say, instead of the black sheep. So it's like we heard all the time, they said, this is my little sister. No, it ain't. Yes, it is my little. So it's like this argument goes on and on and on all the time. It was good.
You know, everybody smells you. You must have Indian in your family.
I know. Well, they do. And what's good is all of them. And on my father's side, too, they had good hair. But my mom and, like, my sister, they got really nice hair. But I got skipped. I was like, well, Lord, he gave me the voice. So thank God for the voice. Thank God for the voice.
You know, we had your husband on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about.
And he said he enjoyed it, too.
Yes, yes. We enjoyed him. And he was talking about your voice. And, well, you know, I kind of put him out there a little bit. I asked him how you guys met, and he pretty much said that you were running after him. And he was playing hard to get and that kind of thing.
He need to cut it out. My best friend, we went to church together, and she went to high school with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we met. But what's so funny is to go back a little further, our parents used to go to the same church. We were going to the same church, me and David, but when we were young, like little kids,
mm-hmm.
so we didn't remember it. But our parents told us later on after we got together,
mm-hmm.
It's like when they got to meet each other, see each other again, they knew it just like, what are y'all doing? We've been knowing each other all these years, so it's just funny how time just circles and things circle around like that.
Right.
But she introduced us.
Well, that's awesome. He did finally come out and tell the truth, though. He did. He said you guys kissed, and the next thing he knew, you guys were married. He did say that.
He didn't say I skipped across my apartment building.
Well, we didn't let him get that far. He was kind of getting out there a little bit, so we had to pull him back in.
Thank you so much. Thank y'all for looking out for me.
You know what? A lot of women want to know. There's a lot of women out there right now that are single. And
mm-hmm.
they see you with your Adam, and they see how happy you are. And that's just a blessing for just African-American people, just people in general, to see how happy you guys are, to know that, you know what, sometimes we're displayed on television in a negative way, but to see it in a positive light, it gives them hope.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about it is, they want that, and they say, you know, that's possible for me.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So, yeah, and the question that I was asked and told to ask you is, how did you know that David was your Adam?
Well, I knew kind of right. It's funny, but right off the top, but to just kind of go biblically, I went and wrote my vision down.
Wow.
I wrote what I wanted in my husband down at, you know, early, like 18, 19. I was, because, you know, being in the church all those years and, you know, raised in the church and all. So I just put it to paper and asked the Lord what I wanted and told God. And the Lord did just what I asked, because I didn't want a man that was smoking and drinking. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to try to help him break his habit. You know, I didn't want to deal with that.
Right.
I didn't want to have to work with that. And I wanted somebody that was singing. So if I did come in late from a musical, I wouldn't try to have to be explaining that this is really where I've been. You know, sometimes
right.
you can, because how you have midnight musicals or sometimes it goes over late. But I really made my request known unto God, ladies and gentlemen, you can do it as well. That to ask God what I wanted. And when I met David and we started singing together, and I just knew I really liked him. It's like something on, you know, it's just like a gut, you know, the gut feeling that you get sometimes, like, I need to do this. It's like sometimes you have that sure answer of feeling that this is what I need to be doing right now at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew it. But then, of course, he was doing his own thing at the time. and we hadn't made no commitment, but I was just patient. I was patient. I wasn't rushing him, like, you know, trying to pursue him to let, you know, for him to know that I really liked him. And, you know, sometimes I see in the world now a lot of women are so strong that they just, they really not waiting on that Boaz. They just really just pushing the meter a little much to try to do it themselves versus waiting on God. So I just say wait on the Lord. And once I decided to not to think, well, man, I don't have anybody, everybody else, because a lot of my friends was getting married. And as soon as I stopped really worrying about it and just enjoying life, it happened. And I just knew it was him. It sounds so far-fetched, but it's the truth. It was like I knew, and it's like he knew. So it's like he got his little play out, like his little lady friends he was talking to, and we just started spending a whole lot of time together, and we just knew.
Wow. I'm just all smiles here because I'm thinking, you know, that is the way that I believe everybody would like it. Relationships to go.
And I believe it's possible. I mean, you know, things are still, in Christ, all things are possible. If we just our patience is so short as a people. You know, we're right now people that, you know, visual, if we see it, you know, or if we don't see it, we really don't believe it. You know, it's like we just have to go beyond that faith, you know. We have to trust that faith. It's like a faith walk. It's a faith walk. It's just trusting God. A blind faith is what I call it. A blind faith.
Yeah.
That it can happen. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm finished.
Okay. I was going to say, it's interesting that you said you wrote it down.
Yes.
You know, I remember reading in the book, it says, and I hear people say, write the vision and make it plain.
Yes, and Jeremiah.
In fact, if you decided that you were going to write this down, you put it to paper, you gave it what I consider legs to stand on.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. I like that.
You know, most people don't think like that.
Yeah,
because
it's really truly what you call, when you say legs, oh, bless God, it's standing on the promises.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, to actually give it legs, I'm standing on the promises of God. If my ways please him, he will give me the desires of my heart.
Mm.
Okay, we ain't going to preach tonight. We're not going to preach tonight. That was a whole nother light just came open on that.
You know, I mean, that's good stuff because, you know, one of the things I was going to ask you were, what were some of your influences? What influenced your faith walk and the walk that you're taking now?
My mom was a believer. I mean, she prayed and just, you know, because we were, like I say, poor. She was struggling, but she just believed God. And it's like, when that's all you see, I mean, it gets to a point. And then how I look at, like, my senior year, didn't know how even I was going to get my cap and gown. It's just all these things. And people, I just believe, and then I was just being faithful unto God. And people at my church just start giving, well, what you need, I'll get this for you, I'll get that for you. You know, it's just God just put people in my way to make things happen for me. And I'm just so grateful to God for just choosing me. And it's amazing to me. I'm in awe even to this day to just drive up to my home and, like, man, this is ours. But I remember when I lived, you know, in the hood. I never really lived in the apartment with my mom, but I did once I moved out. They was like hood apartments. And we were just talking about that the other day that, you know, I pray God keep me as he elevates me, keep me. So sometimes I do go ride back through my old neighborhoods to remember where God has brought me from. So I can just reflect and tell people that God can. You know, you looking at now, but you don't know my then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So it's just amazing. But if you just get out of the way, God will use you if we get out of the way.
Yeah. And you know what? It right now, a lot of people are struggling in their relationships with their husbands, and a lot of women are struggling with just a lot of things. And it seems like everything just boils down to, where is your faith?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? What kind of relationship do you have with him? What was your foundation? Who helped you with that? do you have a solid foundation or do you have a rocky foundation? Because that's what you're going to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And David was talking, he was telling us about the time that when you guys were younger and the type of car that you had, it made him appreciate the things that he have now for a
different reason. Although he gave you the windshield wiper story.
Yeah.
It's so true. So true. That's what I mean by the now and then, you know. It's just people just don't, they just look at it like, well, I want what they want. But they don't know the cost that we've paid.
Right.
I mean, we've paid dues where, you know, we've cried. We've been backstage where we was just crying and saying, Lord, you're going to have to help us because things happen that you just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I was willing to work through it because I knew in the end what my payoff was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to stay faithful to God. Like, he didn't tell me, no, you leave. And a lot of times in the marriages, and you know, right now, people want, you know, it's like quit is so easy. Because it's so easy to just say, well, forget it. I quit, whatever. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. But the thing is once you quit with that person, you're going to have to go through it again with somebody else. So why not just work it out? Because when you really love someone, you're willing to work through whatever.
Mm.
Because like Scripture says, love covers a multitude of faults. And if you have enough love, it's just like Jesus giving him his life for us. He loved us enough, knowing that we would be, really, we are filthy rags. He loved us enough that he gave his life. He took punishment for us. But we're not willing to take punishment for each other, you know, meaning couples. We're not willing to go the extra mile to say, well, okay, look here now. Now, I don't like when you talk to me like that. And if you could, you know, okay, I understand you being upset. But, you know, we need to find a different approach on how we talk when we get upset. Versus just saying everything that comes to mind where you just cutting me up when you get mad. We have to come to that point where you're not going to just do me. We're not going to just do that to each other and try to one-up each other. Well, your mama's stupid. No, your mama's stupid. Your daddy's stupid. No, your daddy's stupid. Mm-hmm. So we have to take some time to explain to each other. You know, maybe walk away for a minute, but come back right, you know, not 2 and 3 weeks later, but come back once you cool off and like, look, okay, I said that wrong. You know, let me apologize now. But a lot of us just want to be right all the time, and it's not about being right. It's about making this thing work, you know?
Yes.
Being faithful to the cause, you know? We just really just meaning our vows when we say, I do. I will, you know? You may lose your job, but I'm willing to work until you get another job and we make this thing happen together.
Awesome. You know
what I hear, Greg?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But what I hear is she's saying the key to a good relationship is communication. And
it's
communication is actually communicating, actually saying something. And, you know, because when you're arguing and fussing, you're not really saying a whole lot.
No, because it's like everybody's wanting to be heard.
Mm.
No one is listening.
Mm.
When you're arguing, the majority of the time, it's like you hear one word. Like if somebody up and say, you're stupid. All you hear is stupid. You don't hear, you know, what was said in the beginning of the sentence and what was after it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like Scripture. We take what we want and then we leave the rest. We take a little piece.
Mm-hmm.
God will supply, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we forget about the rest of it.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Is it fair to say that your life, for all the people that are suffering and wanting to give up, is it safe for me to say that your life is an example for others as far as faith?
As far as faith?
Faith, yes.
I think it's okay.
Yes.
I think it's okay.
Yes.
But, I mean, I'm not perfect.
Right.
But one thing I do, you know, when I pray, it's funny that you say that. When I pray, I believe God when I pray. Like the other day, you know, we had the storms here the weekend. Where a hurricane came through Houston and Galveston, Texas, and it was supposed to rain really, really hard. It rained Saturday, and it was supposed to rain Saturday and Sunday. And I had a benefit program that was here Sunday that I had been my uncle, he's in a small town, and I promised him years ago that I would come to his church and do something. He passed away. So me wanting to keep my word, his son took over his church, and I wanted to go, and, you know, he called me. He was like, well, Tam, when can you come? And, you know, I'm trying to do something for the church down here. So we came up with a date, and I'm like, Lord, of all dates, here comes this hurricane, which we, you know, we have no control over that. We have no control over that, but I'm talking about faith. We have no control over that, and I was like, Lord, I need clear skies and no rain, because people, you know, they kind of run people away when it rains, because really, I don't like to go out in the rain. But when I came back home Sunday morning, how about it was clear skies? It rained Saturday, but it didn't rain like they said we was going to get, like 4 to 6 inches, all that. But I had just prayed and asked God. I said, Lord, you know that my time frame is such and such and such, and I don't have any more time open, weekends open, to go and do this program to help him with his ministry. This is how I'm talking to God, y'all. Guys, this is how I'm talking to the Lord. But when I got off that plane and it was nice weather, and I was just, and we was getting in the car, and David said, do you believe God when you pray? I said, yes, I do. And it was just so, it's just amazing. It's a wow factor how God just blows me away. And even my family have come to the point where they're like, well, if you want something to happen, ask Mama to pray for you, because it's going to happen if she prays. And I mean, I just, you know, but it's like I believe when I pray, you know, I do, I really do. And I even got to the point where, you know, with me and this weight thing, I said, maybe this is my thorn, because I was like, Lord, you're doing everything I else but getting this weight off like I want it. I mean, you know, it's funny, but I just believe, I really do believe God, but I think it's like to the point of, okay, if this is going to help me stay where I need to be, I'm healthy, but I still need to take some of this off. But I just believe it, regardless of what it looked like, what it sound like. I just believe God.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, you are perfect. Say, no, please don't stop talking, because, you know, people need to hear that.
Yes.
People need to hear that, because, you know, it's funny. When I talk to people, a lot of people don't believe that their prayers can be answered.
Yes, they can.
You know, they pray and they say, well, you know, Lord, if you're going to do it, then do it. But I understand if you ain't got time for me. You know?
But I think sometimes when it don't happen as quick as we want it, because he really does. If you're living right, he does answer. He does answer, but sometimes he won't. It's almost, to me, it's like he want to see you sweat a little bit, because he want to know if you really going to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know?
That's something that we won't do. We'll trust him for a little while.
Yes, and then we want to quit.
And then we want to quit. But then when something happens, we'll pick up the phone and call our friends and talk mm-hmm. with them about it first before going to him.
Yes.
A lot of times we use him as our last resort.
Yeah.
And when he should be our first.
That's true. That's so true.
And it's so sad. It's so sad. Brad, I'm sorry to cut you off. I know you had a question for her.
No, I was actually going to get into some questions about what she's up to right now.
What I'm doing?
What are you doing?
Well, right now I'm preparing myself to go, and we've been working on our project together. Me and David is doing a project together. And I've been writing for that, and making ready to leave, because we're about to start the sitcom, Meet the Browns.
Yeah.
And we're about to head to Atlanta for about 6 weeks to record that, and just doing other ministry work on my dates on the weekend, promoting the CD I have here now, Tamla Man, The Live Experience. If you don't have it, it's a live DVD CD. You can go to Tamla Man. TamlaMan.com and pick it up. I have an online store, or check your local Christian bookstores or Walmart.
Yeah.
And
if they don't have it, tell them that you need it.
If you don't have it, you do need it. It's really something to see. It really is a live experience with me. Not just so much what you see. You get a lot more than what you see on the television with the plays, because I'm in my true element, where I don't have to stop because I'm in the house of God. I don't have to stop because of stage. And, you know, it's only a certain amount that they'll allow you to do.
Right.
But I just, and time. But you get the whole live experience. You get it on the CD, and you have an actual DVD that you can watch. That's Tamela Mann, the live experience. You can go to TamelaMann.com, and I have an online store and order it, or try your local stores, Walmart or Christian bookstores.
What is it?
That's what I'm doing right now.
Good, awesome. I wanted to ask you, everybody wants to know, everybody loves Tyler Perry. Everybody is always talking about him. What is it like working with Tyler?
Crazy.
So it's just, you know.
It's crazy.
And the reason, the reason I'm asking that is because.
It's fun, but, I mean, it can work, and sometimes it can be intense, you know, because he'll come in, and he'll take a lot of time. You know, it's like he wants you, once we go through some stuff, he wants you to remember what he told you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to, you know, it's like he had to tell you, take your script, make notes, remember what your blocking is, meaning where you're supposed to be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But on stage, it was a blast because I laughed every night, like I laugh every night at David. But it was a lot of fun. But it could be crazy, like I'm saying, because you're going. It's like once you go, you're having to go get it. Got to go get it.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I was saying that is it's possible for people to live a dream and do what you're doing, and not so much just what you're doing, but doing that thing that they love to do and get paid for it.
I'm going to tell you something, guys. What's funny, the acting is really icing on the cake for me of what God set up for me, because this is nothing I ever desired, ever dreamed about doing.
Hmm.
Never took no acting, even in drama in school. I didn't do any of that. So it's like when this came about, you know, I went and I like David went and he did his little interview with Tyler and read and everything, and I came along with the package, and I told him, well, I had like one line, and that was I Can Do Bad on the first one before we really got going in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I'll sing all day for you, but acting, I can't do that. I'm not going to be doing that. He was like, before it's over with, I'll have you acting. So how that came about is one young man that was playing an uncle decided to go do something else, and I got put in the role as Cora, Madil's daughter, because first I was Cora, Mr. Brown's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got all turned around, and I'm telling you, it's just, I'm saying, God is just amazing. He's amazing because we have gifts. You know, as the scripture, stir up the gifts, if we want the gifts to be stirred up, that was a gift that I didn't even know I had. So, I mean, it's amazing how things can just come about.
That's awesome.
Wow. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and don't laugh at it, but the reason
I'm a laugher. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, listening to you talk, I feel like, because I was just recently in Fort Worth for about a week,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear your accent.
Yes, and I'm
hurt. And I feel like I'm just right there with a whole family again, you know?
How cute. No, that's good. That's that. You know, I just have to be me. I can't be nobody but me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know, and I tell a lot of people, too. I know y'all hear the southern drawl a little bit. But I have people laughing all the time. Some of my cousins, they mess with me about, come on, ooh, Tammy, they call me Tammy, you're so country. I was like, oh, well, I'm just being me.
It's just that I love it, you know, because I always tease my wife about how she talks.
No, that's fine. I don't look, it's not offensive at all to me. It's unbecaught. It's just me. It's just a part of me now. So I have what I can't change it. I start, you know, I'm not too good.
So here's my question.
Go ahead.
When you and David are just like, when you all are just not like in your acting mode, not in your singing mode, is he still crazy?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes, he clowns all the time. I laugh at him so much all the time, you guys. You wouldn't believe it.
I mean, the character that he portrays, it is just classic. you can find like somebody like that in everybody's family.
This boy here is—he's retarded. I talked to y'all earlier. He's David's retarded. He told me it's been a couple months ago now. He had been just really just clowning like every day, and I'd just be looking at him just laughing. He said, "I'm gonna have to charge you. I'm gonna have to charge you because you're just having too good of a time." I was like, "What you mean, charge?" He said, "Cause you always laugh." And I was like, "Well, you're always clowning."
Well, I tell you what—the shopping, Mr. Brown goes shopping, and you guys. Pull up on the bicycle.
That just happened. Well, none of that planned. They told us we was going there that morning, and it just all happened.
Them Bloomers, or whatever they were, those different multicolored boxes.
And telling me that I could make a something out of that flag.
Yes, yes, yes.
I said, you, boy.
You were saying that. You were talking about how good God is and how wonderful he is. Even when you were in the valley, even when you and David didn't have what you have now and you were struggling and backstage and you guys were shedding tears and all of this stuff, I think the beautiful thing about that is you didn't stop. You kept going forward. And I think that's what a lot of people do when that storm comes. They just stop.
Yeah. I couldn't. It's like, you know, when you have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you know you have work to do. It's like you try to get as much done as you can before it's time to get off. And I'm just at that point that I know the Lord is soon to come, and I have a lot of work to do. And there's people that I was reaching with the shows. Some of these people will never come to the house of God. So it's like I'm using this as an approach to reach people that would never come to the house of God. So why not flip the script? So it's a lot of times, and see, that's what I love about working with Tyler, too. He allows us to make the character our own, and if it's changing a couple words, he's cool with it, you know, if it's going to enhance that, you know, that scene or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we have too much to do. I mean, I think, too, that's why God has blessed us, because I look beyond me. I look beyond, it's not about me anymore. And so happened, the Lord just blesses us, because I don't let it be about me. And, you know, and I don't say, well, me, 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 all this kind of stuff. You don't hear us saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I feel like, you know, my just reward, yes, we want to be taken care of down here. And that's why I tell the Lord, you know, sometimes when I don't understand when things are happening, I'm like, well, Lord, I'm your child, and just for us to just get abused, like, you know, get mistreated. But if we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. That's the scripture. So I just like, okay, well, if you can just help me bear, bear through this and bear with it, you know, that
yeah.
I know, you know, what we do in secret and give and help people, that I want my reward to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want all my stuff up there.
Going on.
You know, I want all my stuff. Everything that belongs to me, I want all of it.
You know, I wanted to say that you touch people, you and your husband, you touch people more than I think you know. And I know that it's none of your spiritual business, because that's just how it's set up, that a lot of the people that you touch, you'll never hear from them. You'll never know. But the fact that you're out there and you're doing the work, good clean work, and knowing at the end of the day that you can go home and say, you know what, I did my best.
Yeah.
I did my absolute best with the talents and the gifts that you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good. I can go to sleep. I know
uh-huh.
that I gave it all I have when
uh-huh.
I was on the stage.
Exactly, and that's
yeah.
how I do. I mean, I let it rip. I'm singing as if it's my last time, because we don't know. You got people just falling out and leaving here. I mean, I had a minister. He's an older guy. He's 70, a little bit over 70, but he wasn't really sick. But, y'all, he preached hard Sunday for last. Had altar call, had people come and people join the church. And right after he got back up in the pulpit, he fell. He fell, I mean, like, just fell out. But it's like he just put it all on the table. I just feel like Pastor Richard just put it all on the table, and that's the way the Lord wanted him to go.
Mm.
So, I mean, he went doing what he wanted to do. I mean, what he loved doing is preaching and teaching the word of God and drawing people and reaching people to let them know that he's soon to come. And, you know, we want to be caught. I want to be caught doing the Father's business, not no caught doing no foolishness.
Amen.
You know, I'm not for that one. I'm not, you know, I'm not for no foolishness. I'm for living right. I'm not perfect, but I believe if I say I'm going to live right, I'm going to live right. You're not going to catch me cussing and slipping like that. You're just not going to do it because the Lord delivered me from cursing. So I don't want to go back into what my old man used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be changed, you know, but not to say I'm not going to get mad and, you know, I'm going to get mad, but I'm just not going to reflect back like I used to get mad. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just feel like we have to draw a line right now for God, for Christ. So the people, because I believe the world is so confused because we have so many people saying one thing and living another, and they don't know what's what. It's like if we don't be of the world, just go on out there. But if you're going to live, be separated, that's what the word says, let's be separate. Whereas I'm in the world, but I don't have to be of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and that's important because, like, in the industry that you're in, there are so many different pits.
Miss Mann.
Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, hold on.
Is Miss Mann there?
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened, but that's all right.
That devil is a lie.
You know what, Miss Mann? I'm not even going to give him the time of day, but you know how people watch you?
Mm-hmm.
People are always watching other people. And I wanted to say this. There's a lady that I work with. Her name is Clyde. Every morning she comes to work and she greets people the way that everybody should treat each other.
Yeah.
She's always happy every morning, no matter what. It doesn't matter what's going on. But when she comes in the door, it makes me feel good to see her and smile. And I was always I used to think, what in the world is she coming in here so happy about every morning?
She's consistent. She's consistent. That's what she is. Consistent.
Yes. And I don't know. I just love the fact that she did that. And now I practice that because I was watching her.
And I don't know if I got cut off or when I got cut off.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying I didn't want my life to be a hindrance of confusing someone to become like Christ. You know how we can do things. I don't want to be a hindrance where they be like, no, I don't want to be like them because, you know, I can just basically you can do bad all by yourself.
Yes.
I don't want to live like them. If they act like that, I don't want to be a part of that. So I just want us to just be an example of what I believe Christ would do and how Christ would act, you know, in winning people over to the kingdom of God. Because that's what it's all about. It's for me to win as many people as I can win over to Christ. That's what I'm in it for. I'm not in it for me. I'm in it to win souls to Christ.
And, you know, I think that's where the reward comes in. And I think that's something that gives you that strength even before all of this happened. You know, we all have trials. We all have tribulations. And I really do believe that you have to make up in your mind that I'm going to finish this. If I've never finished anything before in my life, I'm going to stay in this to the end. I'm going to ride this thing out no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, because so many of us will quit. Like you said earlier, it's so easy to give up. And when you're right there at your breakthrough, a lot of times we walk away from it not knowing how close we were to it.
Exactly. That's good.
Yeah. And
That's good.
Yes, for you to be on television and we see you, and it's like...
You have reached the maximum time allowed for recording. To review or re-record your message, press 1. To mark your message urgent, press 2. To mark your message private, press 3. To send your message as is, press the pound key.
Hello?
Nothing has been...
Hello?
Yes,
are
I'm here.
There?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm having some technical difficulties with the show.
I don't know what happened.
Not sure what's going on either.
Yes, but that's okay. Go ahead, Brian. I know you had a question for her.
I was going to ask you about your musical influences. Who are some of the people that influence you, and who are some of the people that you like to listen to?
My beginning influences were the Clark Sisters, the majority. The Clark Sisters, and coming up, I listened a lot to Andre Crouch, and of course, my mom, she always was playing like Shirley Caesar. But my favorite were James Moore and Vanessa Bell Armstrong were my favorite. Now I listen to everybody, you know, but I have like, I like Dietrich, he's on my.
Oh, yeah.
And I love, I have Jay Moss's, I love Dorinda Clark. Who else do I have in there? I listen to a lot of Christian contemporary radio.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do I have?
When you know what? Last time we spoke with David, he said that you guys were working on something just the two of you were doing.
Yes, that's what I said. Me and him is working on our project earlier. Yes.
When will that be out? Because you know,
we're looking at. I'm sorry for cutting y'all.
Okay.
We're looking at the beginning of the year. Like February, that sometime around in there.
That's going to be nice. That's going to be nice. I can't wait to hear that. You know, I don't think people really know. Well, most people know, but a lot of people don't know that David can sing.
Well, he sings, but he's always, I guess because the character doing the Mr. Brown. But he can. Yes, he can.
Yes.
But if they remember him from doing He's Able on Kirk Franklin and the Family, the beginning CD, While We Sing, he did He's Able with Kirk and a couple other things, but he really can sing. He likes acting more than he likes the singing part.
And you know what?
It's more the singing than the acting. So it's we balance each other out.
I was just about to say, you guys balance each other out so well because somebody's got to be sane in the group because...
Well, I try my best to uphold that.
And even when you're doing the shows, if they just focus in on you, they'll see you laughing.
Yep.
Especially the one where Mr. Brown goes shopping. I mean, that was, I can't stop talking about
it. I'm telling you, because it just happened. So it was so funny because nothing was programmed. Nothing was written. It was straight off the hip. And he had me laughing so much. I was having to hold myself because He was clowning. But I thank y'all for having me.
Yes, yes. We thank you for coming on. We do apologize for the difficulties that we're having. We don't know what happened, but
that's fine.
Thank you.
I'm happy with it. Again, thank you for having me, and I just pray and hope that everything that's been said that touched some people's lives and help give them direction on what they need to do and how they need to hear from God.
Good, awesome. And thank you again, and tell your husband we said hello.
I will.
Yes, and we're praying for you guys, and we can't wait to see you guys on television, on stage, and just everywhere else. Just continue doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Uh-huh, y'all have a good evening.
Thank you.
Too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, actress Miss Tamela Mann.
Brian, I tell you what, I don't know what happened to the system, but she hit on some powerful things. She touched on some powerful things.
Like you said, I think that old man might be busy. You know, I'm not going to call his name because I'm not going to give him that much more credit. You know, but like she said, she hoped that whatever had been said would definitely be a blessing to others. And, you know, I truly believe that, you know, her life is the example and the blessing.
Yes. I tell you, man, I am excited. Even though she's gone, I'm still excited because if you look at what they're doing something that a lot of people in the industry would not, they did not welcome it with open arms, and they still don't do it. But the thing of it is, so many people in society are embracing what they're doing that they don't have a choice but to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I think now it's become so apparent that, you know, this isn't just like a fly-by-night thing. It's just like a little shot-in-the-dark comedy skit or whatever that, you know, these are serious actors and actresses, and they're really doing something that's not just all comedy. You know, it actually serves a purpose. You know, when you watch the shows and the things that Tyler Perry has put out there, you know, if you really pay attention to it, all of them have messages. You know, I just recently watched Meet the Browns, and Meet the Browns had a compelling message about family and about trust, you know. And so even though it had its old crazy brand of comedy, and, you know, you got Mud Air about to go to jail and she's running from the cops and, you know, it has all that crazy stuff in it, it still also had a message that you can learn from, that you can grow from, that, you know, a lot of times when people give you their word or if people are trying to help you, you don't necessarily have to feel like that's just the same old person that's trying to get something from me or get something out of me. You know, that there are some genuine people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I truly believe Ms. Tamela Mann is definitely a genuine person.
Yes.
You know.
And not just her. There's a lot of good people out there. You know, we hear all the time, what a crazy world we live in. It's not the world that's crazy. We don't live in a crazy world. We live in a blessed world. We live in a time now that you can do pretty much whatever you want.
Yep.
As long as you make up your mind to do it. And I think, Brian, I really do believe that that's where it is. Where is your faith? What do you believe in? What is it that's pushing you? What is it that you're holding on to when things are not going good at home or things are not going good in your marriage or in your job or just everyday just crazy things that happen? What are you holding on to? Because, Brian, a lot of people, when those times come, a lot of people are in the bar or in the club, and they're looking for something to try to make them forget about what they're going through. But Brian, when they put that alcohol down or that joint or those pills, when they come down off of that high, what do they have? What do they have to spend on? Like you said, where are the legs to the things that you're believing in?
Yeah, man, I tell you, you know, when I'm out there and I'm talking to people and I'm doing my thing and I'm trying to encourage them, trying to help them, you know, the one compelling thing that I see is that people will know when you're genuine.
Mm-hmm.
People will really know when you're genuine. I had a situation and this week, where I was confronted by, you know, a truth. And I stood firm to my truth. And because I stood firm to that truth, you know, and I didn't back down, and, you know, when I saw certain things that I could have done better, you know, I changed my approach, you know, but I didn't back down off the truth. You know, I saw actual changes occur in that particular situation. And so, as you know, I'll say that to say this. A lot of times people will know when you're genuine, and people will know that, you know, people, when they confront you with things, you have to stay true. You have to stay true. You can't get wishy-washy. You can't let certain, you know, how do you say, situations bring you down to where you don't stand for anything. You know, and when you have people like Miss Tamela Mann, you know, you could tell that she stands for something. You know,
mm-hmm.
Her faith is so important to her that that's what she lives by. She stands by her faith. She talked about how her family truly believes that she can get a prayer through. You know, talk to Mama. Mama can get your prayer through. You know, I mean, that's something that you don't just take lightly. When people believe in you and people have that type of trust in you, that's something that's commendable.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And especially, Brian, to live your marriage life out in the open. A lot of people are just not comfortable with that. They're not comfortable with the world coming in the way that they open themselves up to everybody. And, Brian, if you can recall when Mr. Mann was on the show, the thing that he wanted to make sure that he thanked everybody for every single thing that they did for him and everybody that followed them, he thanked them. And you can tell that he was sincere because he said, it doesn't matter how many people are there. If I'm outside, I'll stop and give an autograph or I'll stop and I'll talk with people. Because he truly understands that a lot of people are going through, and if they can just get close to you, and if you could just say something that will ease the pain, or you can say something that person is going through, and you don't know them, that's powerful. That's powerful when Miss Mann can control an entire audience from standing on the stage and doing something as simple as singing. It's amazing. And, Brian, I know you heard me say a lot of women and a lot of people were talking about her and her voice and how powerful it is.
Yes.
That's,
you know,
a beautiful
I can
thing.
Remember the first time I actually heard her sing. I was like, wow. You know, I mean, it kind of threw me off because I'm thinking, you know, it's rare that you see actresses that can really, really, really sing. And so I was giving her credits as an actress, and she says, well, I'm not much of an actress. And I'm thinking, wow, she's actually a pretty good actress, and she does very well. But then when you hear her voice, she says, well, I'm a singer first, and my husband is an actor first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, wow, you know, if you consider your acting to be your second best thing you do, then, whew, you know.
Hate to hear the first.
You know, and I mean, then when you hear the first, you understand. You're like, wow, it doesn't get any better than this.
Yes. But I tell you what, it like I said before, Brian, she's really an example of what faith is. If you can hang in there and stick it out. She never said it was easy. She didn't say that. She talked about the times when it was painful and hard, and for a husband and wife to sit and cry together, they don't know where that money's coming from to pay for this or pay for that or where the next meal is coming from, for them to stick together in that time. Because, Brian, a lot of people, when they're pressured in situations like that and they're following their dreams, and even when they're not following their dreams, but when they go through those tough and hard times, sometimes it'll divide you. But when you stick together and your focus is not on the relationship but on him, you can make it. Because there's not a relationship out there, Brian, that something has come in their life and it's just shaking that relationship. You're going to be tested. You will be tested. If you're married, if you have a fiance, a boyfriend, whatever, that relationship will be tested. The thing is, what will you do when those times come? And it's so easy to just quit and give up.
Yeah.
But Brian, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, people are asking that question all over.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honestly, and to be quite honest, my answer would really just be for me. See, that's the type of answer that you have to ask and answer for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're going through, my answer is just a suggestion. But the answer that you have, you've already got it. You already know what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You already know that you have everything you need. You know? And most people say, well, what if I don't have any food to eat? Well, you know, you have a means to get it. You have a way that you can get it. You should never really be without anything, because there's always one thing that can provide for you, and that's prayer.
Mm.
You see, just like what Miss Mann was talking about, how she prayed for something. She prayed for it not to rain. You know, just something as simple as that. You have to understand that power of prayer. It's just that simple. You know, the thing about it is those little simple truths are the things we overlook so often in too much. We overlook those things, and they're simple.
Yes.
Something as simple as saying, okay, today I'm going to actually start writing that book. Today I'm actually going to start writing, you know, that play. I'm going to actually start learning how to sing. I want to sing, you know, or I want to dance. So I'm going to actually take a dance lesson. I'm going to actually take on an opportunity to do something that I've never done before. Most people are so stuck in that same rut of doing the same thing every day the same way, looking for a different outcome, that, you know, they never take that opportunity to do something different.
You know what, Brian? We have to do something. This world is moving. We can't stop. No matter what we're going through in our lives, we have to continue moving forward, because that's what trials and tribulations will do. They'll stop you if you're not careful. My grandfather used to always tell me, you know, he gave me this example, you got to keep going, you got to keep going. And when you start doing the things that you want to do, people will come against you. The same people that helped you will turn against you. And the example that he used, Brian, was he showed me one day. He said, you see that dog over there sitting up under that car? He said, that's just like you not doing what you were created to do. But when you start moving and going after your dreams and your goals, your friends will turn against you. Brian, he said, when that car moves, that dog is going to run and bark at that car. He said, but when that car, as long as that car is stopped and not moving, you'll never see a dog barking at a parked car. They only bark when you move. Your friends will turn against you when you move. People will come at you when you move. But as long as you don't stop, you can get there. You can make it. And I say to everybody that's got ears and they're listening, you can make it. Don't stop. Just continue doing the right thing. Don't ever get tired of doing what's right. And with that being said, we thank you for joining us tonight. We're so glad that Tamela Mann came on and blessed us all with words of wisdom, and we can't wait to see you back on the show, Brian, on Monday. God bless.